أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the Lord of the universe. I bear testimony that there is no deity worthy of worship except Almighty Allah, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a servant and a messenger of Almighty Allah. The blessings of Almighty Allah be upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, members of his household, his companions, and those who follow his right path until the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters in Islam, I greet you in this noble month of Ramadan with the best of all greetings, which is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, without wasting much of our time, the topic of our discussion this afternoon is the topic of decreasing iman among the youth. This topic is very important, not especially in this kind of period that we find ourselves. In the kind of period that we discover that most of the youth that we are expecting to lead a good and positive development of our country are the ones involving in various types of atrocities, ranging from kidnapping, banditry, Boko Haram, and different kinds of atrocities. So we need to know the causes of decrease in the iman, because if not the fact that the iman has decreased, one would not have involved himself in this kind of bad attitudes. So, before we talk about the causes of decrease in iman among the youth, I find it very necessary and important to tell us a little about iman, because you can never tell whether something increases or decreases if you don't know the exact description of that thing. You don't know the level of something. How can you be sure that that thing increases or decreases? Inshallah, we are going to talk about it in the next 30 to 40 minutes, after which we are going to entertain one or two questions before we call it the day. When we talk about Al-Iman, there are various definitions given to Al-Iman by various categories of people. Some people, for example, they restrict iman into attestation of the heart. Once you attest with your heart that Almighty Allah is one, then you have iman, irrespective of whatever whatever deed that you perpetrate, whatever action, whatever wrong action that you do. They still believe that your iman is still intact. Once you have attested and affirmed in your heart that Almighty Allah is one. But according to the understanding of Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, which is the understanding of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions of the Prophet. About who Almighty Allah says in the Quran, and آمَنُوا بِنِسْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. If they believe in what you Prophet and companions believe in, then they are guided. They are on the right path. This verse of the Holy Quran tells us that our iman has to be in conformity with the iman of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the iman of the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the essence of this verse. According to Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when we talk about iman, iman is the affirmation of the heart. You affirm something in your heart. The utterances of the tongue. You utter it out from your mouth, through your tongue, and the actions of the lips. Then you walk with your lips. Those are the three bases of iman according to Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You have to attest with your heart that Almighty Allah is one. What is in your heart, the creed in your heart, has to be uttered through your mouth, through your tongue, that Almighty Allah is one. And you have to walk in accordance with the attestation of your heart, in accordance with the utterances of your tongue. That is iman among Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. And this iman increases. This iman, it increases as well as decreases. This iman increases when you do what Almighty Allah asks you to do. It increases by the obedience of Almighty Allah. If you are obedient to Almighty Allah, by doing what Almighty Allah asks you to do, then your iman will be increasing. You are praying, you are fasting most of Ramadan, you are giving zakat, you embark on Hajj, and all kinds of good deeds that you may think of. Whenever you do all these good deeds, then your iman will be increasing. And also, iman decreases with disobedience to Almighty Allah. When Almighty Allah commands you to do something and you refrain to do it, that will lead to decrease in your iman. Your iman will decrease because you disobey Almighty Allah. So that is the most correct thing about the al-iman. If you believe anything less than this, then your iman, your belief is not in conformity with the belief of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Prophet's companions. They are our predecessors. They are our forerunners. We are following their footsteps. The iman that we are talking about, the iman has six pillars that we call pillars of Islam. The pillars of iman. The pillars of iman
All these pillars have to be solid intact. You must not have any problem in any of the pillars of Islam. Because if one of the pillars of Islam fails, if you have problem in one of the pillars of Islam, then there is no any benefit in having the rest. When a pillar is no more there, then others are no more useful. These pillars are things. The pillars of Iman, they are things, as all of us know. The first pillar of Islam is Al-Iman Billah. Al-Iman Billah, believe in Almighty Allah. We must believe that Almighty Allah is one. We must believe that Almighty Allah is the creator of the heaven and earth. We must believe that Almighty Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. We must not worship anything other than Almighty Allah, be it angel, prophet, jinn, or any other thing. We must not worship anything except Almighty Allah. Our iman in Almighty Allah has to be firm, has to be strong, and has not to be shaken. Our iman must not be shaken. If you have a shaken iman about Almighty Allah, that means your iman is not valid. Iman in Almighty Allah has to do with making Almighty Allah one in everything, making Almighty Allah in His rububiyyah, in His absence, in what Almighty Allah does. We have to make Him one. Creation, only Almighty Allah has power to create. Causing someone to die, causing someone to be alive, all these things are done alone by Almighty Allah. You must not give any of these attributes to anyone other than Almighty Allah, whether the person is a sheikh, or the person is a prophet, or the person is an angel, whatever it may be, we must not give him the rububiyyah of Almighty Allah. Also, Almighty Allah has power over everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over everything. There is none of his servants that has his attributes. If you have power, you may have power on your household. You may have power on your children. You may have power on your family. And your power or your family is also limited. You cannot do and undo on them. You cannot decide to kill all members of the family. You cannot decide to inflict injuries upon them. You will be quenched. You will be sanctioned by the law. But Almighty Allah has power over every one of us. He can do and undo. He can kill, he can cause you to die at any time. And nobody will ask Almighty Allah, why did you kill this person? He can cause you to live long. He can cause you to have a good health, and he can cause you to be sick. All these things belong to Almighty Allah. He cannot attribute any of these actions to anyone other than Almighty Allah. We also take Almighty Allah to make him one. We take him one in his worship. When we want to worship, we don't worship anything other than Almighty Allah. Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Only you will be worshipping. Only you will be seeking for assistance. This is what almost every one of us profess every day. When we pray, we recite Surah Al-Fatiha. This verse is Surah Al-Fatiha. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Now, we discover that so many people are associated partner to Almighty Allah in his regard. When they want to pray, they call any other thing other than Almighty Allah. We discover that some people will be calling their sheikh in a situation where they're supposed to call Almighty Allah. When some people are in difficulty, when they are in problem, they will start shouting out the name of their shuyukh. This is testament to association of partnership to Almighty Allah. In dua, we must call Almighty Allah alone. When we want to seek refuge, you want to seek refuge, you seek refuge from Almighty Allah alone. You don't seek refuge with jinn. We don't seek refuge with angels. We don't seek refuge with magic. And all sorts of things. We don't seek refuge with them. Rather, we seek refuge with Almighty Allah. As Almighty Allah commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do in Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah. So, and this also is part of the Iman Billah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So also, making Almighty Allah one is in His name and attributes. Whatever name that Almighty Allah calls Himself, we must call Him that name. We must not interpret any name called Himself by Almighty Allah into another meaning. We call Him the name because He calls Himself the name. We must not give Almighty Allah any name that Almighty Allah does not name Himself. Any name that is not contained in an authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or in the verses of the Quran, we must not call Almighty Allah any of such name. So Almighty Allah is one in His action. Almighty Allah is one in His worship. Almighty Allah is one in His name and attributes. The second pillar, or call it article of faith, is al-Iman bil Malaika. To believe in al-Malaika, they are the angels. The Malaika are the angels. They are also created by Almighty Allah. But Almighty Allah created them from the light, from the noor. Almighty Allah created them from the noor, from light. They don't eat. لا يأكلون ولا يشربون. They don't eat, nor do they drink. They don't marry wives, and they don't reproduce. They don't give birth. لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم. Whatever Allah commands them to do, they do it immediately. So those are the angels of Almighty Allah. We must believe in them. Because Almighty Allah told us about them in the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about them in the Hadith. We must believe in them. And the belief we have in them is what we have already told us. We don't believe in them that whenever we have problem, we can call them. When you have problem, you cannot call Jibril. When you have problem, you cannot call Mikael. When you have problem, you cannot call Israfil. You cannot call any of them. Because Almighty Allah is the one who sent them as messengers. They are messengers of Almighty Allah to us, to the Prophet, and the Prophets are messengers of Almighty Allah to us. So if you want to make any request, present your request direct to Almighty Allah. Ask Almighty Allah whatever you want. You have problem of giving birth, go straight to Almighty Allah. You have problem of wealth, you need money, call Almighty Allah direct. Don't go through any angel, don't go through any human being, don't go through any demon, any shaitan. Almighty Allah alone has to be called. So these are the angels. Almighty Allah told us about the names of some of them. Why some of them are not mentioned by name by Almighty Allah? In some verses of the Quran, Almighty Allah mentioned them by number. وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٍ. Almighty Allah says, on the day of judgment, 8 of the angels, they will carry the arsh of Almighty Allah on them, 8 of them. Almighty Allah did not tell us about their name. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not inform us the name of the hadith, that these are the names of those who will carry the al-arsh of Almighty Allah on the day of judgment. So we should not disturb ourselves to find out about their name. I want to know their name. What do you want to use their name for? The people of innovation, now they will tell you that they know the name. And when they are praying, they will call those names. There's one khutbah of either Surah Al-Yasin or Surah Al-Waqi'ah. There's one khutbah, when they finish the recitation of Surah Al-Yasin or Surah Al-Waqi'ah, you see them mentioning those names. Ya Sa'da Babila, Ya Sa'da Bila, Ya Arwa Bila, Ya Arwa Babila, Ya Sajda Bila, Ya Sajda Babila, all those names, they will be calling those names. Had it been the names are authentic names of the angels of Almighty Allah, are we asked to be calling them? Why do you have to abandon Almighty Allah and be calling those people? Iman in the scriptures. Iman in the scriptures, the revealed scriptures by Almighty Allah. We have to believe in those scriptures. The Torah, which they call Old Testament. The Injil, which they call New Testament. The Zabur of Dawood. The Suhuf of Ibrahim. All those scriptures mentioned by Almighty Allah in the Quran, we have to believe in them. We have to believe in them that it was Almighty Allah who revealed them to the Prophet before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's Almighty Allah who revealed the Quran, which is the last of all scriptures, to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In our belief in the scriptures, we have to believe that Quran, which Almighty Allah sent to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has abrogated all the scriptures that came before the Quran. Quran has abrogated the Old Testament, the Quran has abrogated the New Testament, the Suhuf of Ibrahim, the Suhuf of Musa, and any other scripture received by Almighty Allah before the Quran. We must believe that the Quran has abrogated them. Today, we don't need them in our religion. We don't need them in order to worship Almighty Allah. We must believe in the Quran, and we must believe that even those scriptures that the claims that are still available now have been uttered. Is among our belief that they have uttered the Old Testament, the New Testament, they have uttered everything. It's not the same as the one Almighty Allah sent to their prophet. They have changed it. Whatever they are pleased with, they leave it. And whatever they are not pleased with, they just remove it and replace it with any other thing they like. And that is what Quran told us. And that is what we have to believe about the scripture. We have to believe that Al-Quran is the last of all scriptures. We have to believe that Al-Quran is a direct word of Almighty Allah. Al-Quran is not the creation of Almighty Allah. It's the word of Almighty Allah. We have to believe that. So also, among the articles of faith is belief in the messenger of Almighty Allah. Al-Imanu bi Rusulillah. We have to believe in messengers of Allah. That all of them, they are our messengers. We don't abuse any of the messengers of Almighty Allah. Even if we find any follower of the other messengers abusing our messenger. For example, when a Jew comes out now, or a Christian comes out now and abuses Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you must not retaliate by abusing Prophet Isa or Prophet Musa alayhi wasallam. Because we believe that all of them are prophets of Almighty Allah. They are messengers of Almighty Allah. In fact, we believe that all of them, they inform their people about the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the last messenger. Only that it caught them by surprise when the Prophet came from Arab. They are expecting the last Prophet to come from the people of Israel, from Israelites. That was their expectation. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came through Arab, from Arab, and they changed the system. they start saying that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not whom their prophet told them. We believe in the messengers of Almighty Allah, and part of our belief is that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last messenger of Almighty Allah. There won't be any messenger after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and anyone who believes that another messenger can come, or another messenger has come, or another messenger will come after the Prophet of Almighty Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then such a person has disbelieved. A pillar of his faith, one of the pillars of his faith has been demolished. So we should believe that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last of all messengers and prophets of Almighty Allah. No prophet will come after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No messenger will come after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the authentic belief about the Iman in messenger. We believe in them. The Prophet is the best of them. We have to believe that the Prophet is the seal of them. The Prophet is the last of them. No Prophet will come after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Among the articles of the faith is the Iman, belief in the last day. We have to believe in the last day, which is a day of judgment. We have to believe in the day of judgment, that a day is coming when this life will come to an end, when Almighty Allah will resurrect all his creatures. All his creatures, whether jinn, man, mankind, or animals, Almighty Allah will resurrect all of them in order to give judgment, in order to give everyone appropriate reward. If you are among the good ones in this life, then be expecting good reward on the day of judgment. And if you are among the people of left hand, Ashabu Shimal, those who do not worship Almighty Allah when they are alive, then don't be expecting Almighty Allah to put you in the paradise. Because you did not believe in him here in this life. So on the day of judgment, why are you expecting him? You did not believe in the day of judgment. We have to believe in the day of judgment. In fact, we have to believe in the sign of the day of judgment. Because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about the day of judgment, that when exactly the day of judgment come, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I don't know it." Almighty Allah said, the knowledge of that day of judgment is to Almighty Allah alone. Nobody knows it. But the only thing that Almighty Allah, the only benefit that Almighty Allah gave us is that he gave us the signs. That these are the signs, the minor and major signs of the day of judgment. And when we see any sign, among these times, we know that the day of judgment is approaching. We have to believe in all those times that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that we will see before the day of judgment. Among those times is coming down of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. He's coming down. He's not dead yet, as declared by the Quran. An authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Almighty Allah raised him into the heaven. He is not dead. وَمَا قَتَلُوا, they did not kill him. That is what Almighty Allah said. We believe on the day of judgment that on this day of judgment, Almighty Allah is going to reward every one of us. Almighty Allah is just. Almighty Allah will not be injured into any one of his servants. Whatever you do, you have the reward. If you do good, you have good reward. If you do otherwise, you have bad reward on the day of judgment. And the last and final attitude of the faith is the Iman in the predestination, in the decree of Almighty Allah, in the Qadr. We have to believe that Almighty Allah has predestined everything that will be on the Day of Judgment, 50,000 years before the creation of the heaven and earth. And that is what Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in one of his authentic hadith, that Almighty Allah has decreed everything that will be on the Day of Judgment 50,000 years before the creation of heaven and earth. We have to believe in it, whether good or bad, whether you like it or not. Whatever befalls you, you have to believe that it comes from Almighty Allah. Don't attribute it to anyone other than Almighty Allah. Because when you attribute it to a fellow human being like you, then you are giving him the power of Almighty Allah. That he has power to inflict punishment on you, he has power to kill you, he has power to cause you to be alive. He has power to give you sustenance if you attribute any of this to Almighty Allah. So when it is positive, you accept it. Why not accepting it when it is negative? You have to accept everything comes from Almighty Allah. And that's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us that whenever any evil befalls us, we should say, قَدَّلَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. Almighty Allah has predestined this, and whatever Allah wants, Almighty Allah does whatever He wants. When we say this, then we block, when we close the door of Shaitan. We don't allow him to come into us, to come and discuss our beliefs about the Father. These are the attributes of the faith, Iman, that we are talking about. So when we say causes of decrees in Iman, causes of decrees in faith, Iman among youth, this is the kind of Iman that we are talking about. Secondly, we want to know who are the youth. Who are the youth? The youth are those between the age of maturity and 40 years of age. They are the youth. And that's why we see that Almighty Allah calls his messengers into messengership at this age, at the age of 40. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was called into messengership at the age of 40. Except Prophet Isa alayhi salam. So when we are talking about the youth, we are referring to those who are between the age of maturity and the age of 40, the 40 years. So these are the youth. And this age is very important in the life of mankind. Because at this age, you have strength mentally and physically. You can do and do. I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to go to social place. You have that strength, you have that power. And that's why that period is very important in our life. We have to manage this period. We manage it very well, judiciously, so that we don't end up our life regretting. So now we discover that after knowing the kind of Iman that we are supposed to be upon, the Iman of the Prophet and Sahaba, we discover that this Iman decreases, most especially among the youth. What are the causes? What are the causes of decrease in this Iman? Inshallah, we'll mention some of the causes. There are many causes. We mentioned some of the major causes of decrease in Iman among the youth. Number one, a major cause of decrease in Iman is Shaitan. Is Shaitan. Iblis. Shaitan is the greatest enemy of man. Almighty Allah told us in the Quran that we should not follow the footsteps of Shaitan. وَلَا تَتَبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow the footsteps of Shaitan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Shaitan is a plain enemy for you. is a plain enemy. It's an apparent enemy. It's not an hidden enemy that you will not, you don't know that he is my enemy. Almighty Allah declares to us that Satan is our enemy. In another verse of the Quran, Allah, the Almighty said, we should take him as an enemy. You should see him and take him as an enemy so that we prepare for him so that he will not set us astray. He will not cause us to go against the rulings of Almighty Allah. The enmity of Shaitan to mankind started from when Almighty Allah created our father, our first father, Adam alayhi salam. When Almighty Allah created him and had all the angels, and Iblis was among the angels. He was not an angel, he was a jinn. Shaitan is a jinn, but Almighty Allah put him among the angels. Almighty Allah honored him to be among the angels. Then Almighty Allah asked them to bow in respect for Adam. When Almighty Allah examined them, and Prophet Adam alayhi salam passed, he exalted above all of them. Then Almighty Allah asked all of them to prostrate or to bow in respect for Adam alayhi salam, not in worship. Then all of them did as Almighty Allah commanded them, except Iblis. He said, why would I have to prostrate for someone you created from sand? Someone you created from sand, you created me from fire, and you created this person from sand, why do you ask me to prostrate for him? Then Almighty Allah caused him. Almighty Allah chased him away. Almighty Allah chased him away from among the angels since that day. And when Almighty Allah chased him away, he begged Almighty Allah that Almighty Allah should give him respite, that he should not die until the day of judgment. He should be living. Then Almighty Allah granted it. That's why we have to be careful that anyone who begs Almighty Allah will accept his prayer in this life. If an enemy of Almighty Allah begs Almighty Allah will accept in this life. But on the day of judgment, Almighty Allah will not have mercy except on those who follow him in this life. Then, in the Quran, Almighty Allah told us in Surah Al-A'raf, verses 16 and 17, when Almighty Allah narrated what had passed between Shaitan and Prophet Adam for us. Then Iblis said, "Wa bima aghwaytani," because you have sent me astray. He told Almighty Allah that because you have sent me astray, surely I will see in ways against them on your straight path. Shaitan said he will go and sit on the straight path. He will not allow the descendants of Adam alayhi salam to pass, to walk on the straight path, to tread the straight path. He said, then I will come to them from before them and behind them, and from their right and from their left. Shaitan said he will come. He will try to block them from worshiping of Almighty Allah from the front, from the back, from the left, and from the right. As wala tajidu aktharahum shakirin. You will not find most of them thankful to Almighty Allah. Shaitan told Almighty Allah that I will make sure that they will not follow your right path. I will block them from the front, from the back, from the left and from the right. So this is the beginning of the enmity of Shaitan to mankind. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that Shaitan is moving in us. The way and manner the blood is flowing from in our veins. Shaitan is flowing in our veins as the blood flows in our veins. And that's why we have to be very careful. Is with us anytime, every day, every time. He will try to block you. When you want to do good, he will tell you don't do it. When you want to do bad, he will encourage you. go and do it. Almighty Allah says, Tamadar Shaitan is bothered every insan is poor. فلما كفر قال إني بريء منك إني أخاف الله رب العالمين. Almighty Allah said, like Shaitan, when he says to man, disbelief, he commands man disbelief in Almighty Allah, and when man disbelieves, the Shaitan says, I'm clear of you. I have nothing to do with you. I'm also afraid of Almighty Allah, the Lord of the universe. That is the Shaitan for you. When Shaitan lures you into bad deeds, then he will leave you and your soul. So Shaitan is one of the reasons for decrease in faith, in Iman. When we allow Shaitan to move closer to us, then our Iman will be decreasing. We chase him away from us by moving closer to Almighty Allah, by reciting our Azkar. When you recite your Azkar in the morning and in the evening, when you pray your five daily prayers at the appropriate time, when you engage in good deeds, then Shaitan will not like you. Shaitan will be moving away from you. Then with this, your Iman will be increasing. Another cause of decrease in Iman among the youth is turning away from the remembrance of Almighty Allah. When you turn away, who will cause you to turn away? Shaitan. Shaitan will cause you to turn away from the remembrance of Almighty Allah. And when you turn away from the remembrance of Almighty Allah, automatically your Iman will decrease. Almighty Allah says in Quran, in Surah Taha, but whosoever turns away from an a'arad an dhikri, Almighty Allah says, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَغْطَى وَنَحْشُرْهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. Almighty Allah says, whosoever turns away from my remembrance, verily for him is a life of narrow scope. He will be living a life of narrow scope. مَعِيشَةً ضَغْطَى. He will not be free. He will be in bondage of Shaitan. He will be in the prison of Shaitan. He will not free. He will not have freedom in his mind, in his heart. He will not have rest of mind. Because he has turned away from our remembrance of Almighty Allah. Then Almighty Allah says, and we shall raise him up blind on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, Almighty Allah will raise him up blind. He will be blind. And in this life, he's not blind. He has sight in this life. In this life, he can see. Then you ask Almighty Allah, oh my Lord, why did you raise me up blind? Why I had sight before? Lima hashartani a'ama wa qad kuntu basira. Then Almighty Allah will say like this. Ayat of Almighty Allah, proof of Almighty Allah, evidences, verses, lessons, revelations from Almighty Allah has come to you. And you neglected, and you disregarded them, and the same way you are going to be neglected today. Almighty Allah will neglect him on the day of judgment because he also disregarded the ayat of Almighty Allah, the verses of Almighty Allah. So you should be careful of turning away from Almighty Allah, because when you turn away a little bit from Almighty Allah, then you are moving closer into Shaitan. And moving closer to Shaitan will lead to decrease in your faith. Another cause of decrease in faith is deterioration of parents. The problem of our parents can lead to decrease in our Iman. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that if you want to marry a woman, or a woman also want to marry a man, don't marry because of wealth. Don't marry because of lineage. Don't marry because of beauty. Marry because of religion. Because of piety. Marry a woman because she is religious. She is pious. Also, women should marry men because they are religious. If you marry because of wealth, if the wealth is no more, then the marriage is break. You marry because of this beauty, whether you like it or not, the beauty will fade one day. The beauty queen of 20 years ago, where are they today? Where are they? 10 years ago, don't let us talk about 20 years ago. 10 years ago, those that they are calling beauty queens, today they are somewhere, they cannot even come out to possess again. They know their time has gone, their time has gone. So that's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us that, first of all, be that again. Try to choose a religious, a pious woman, then you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed by Almighty Allah. You will not have much problem. Because the religion, the religiosity of a woman will be calling her to order. If she wants to misbehave, the religion will tame her. If a man wants to misbehave, the religion will call him to order. But if you marry because of lineage, because of the family, it comes from a very big family. When I marry from this family, they will help me to secure a federal job. And that is why I am married from that family. At the end of the day, if you are unable to secure that job, then there is no more law. The marriage will break. And that is why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advised us that we marry a religious woman. When you marry a religious woman, it will assist you into building a very religious and a very strong home. The children that will be bringing up, they will be religious. They know their religion from the cradle. And that when they go out, when they go to school, when they go to campuses, nothing will affect them. Nothing will cause them to defect from the Christian Islam, because they are coming from a very strong background. But today, when we ignore the advice of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we marry wealth, we marry beauty, we marry lineage, and we see what is happening to us today. Even you will see the children of imams, the children of scholars in society, you see the way they are dressed. You see the way they are behaving in the society. What is the cause of this? It is because we don't take care of our home. So when we take a very good care of our home, then we have rest of mind that our youth, they will be increasing. Instead of decreasing in faith, their iman will be increasing. Another cause of decrease in iman is bad company. Bad company. Some people have a strong background as far as religion is concerned. But when they go out, they meet with bad company. They have bad companions. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us that the example of bad company is like an example of a blacksmith. مثل الجليس الصالح والجليس السوء كمثل صاحب المسك وكير الحجاج. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the example of a good companion in comparison with a bad one is like that of a moth seller. Someone who is selling the perfume called moth. When you are a friend to such kind of a person, then you are going to benefit from him, either by buying from the moth or by gaining from the fragrance of the moth. When you are sitting with him, even if he doesn't give you from that moth, then people will be perceiving the fragrance of that almoth from you. It's because you are moving with good people. On the other hand, when you are moving with bad people, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the example is like the bellows, al-kir, those blacksmiths, the blacksmiths, you know, when they are doing their work, the something like fire, yeah, the fire, something like fire will be coming out. That fire, the small and flame of the blacksmith, it will affect you by burning your body. It will burn your flesh, or by burning your clothes. You also gain bad smell, bad odor. And that's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged us that you want to keep a company, you want to choose a friend, try and choose a good one. Because a good friend will assist you. You have a friend that is not praying, a friend that is not fasting, and you are a Muslim. Will he encourage you to pray? When it is time of prayer, he would rather tell you that let us go and continue watching our film than telling you to go and pray. And that is why it is very important for us to keep our good company, as it's going to assist us. It's going to assist us in increasing the level of our iman. Because of our time, let me just talk about watching of what we watch and what we listen to. Some of the things that causes decrease in our faith. What we are watching in our television, in our satellite, we look at the nudity of women, we listen to music in our society freely, and those things are against the teachings of Islam. Almighty Allah asks us to lower our gaze. Don't be looking here and there, looking at the women. So also the women are also advised, are also ordained, are also ordered by Almighty Allah to lower their gaze. By not doing this, our iman will continue to decrease. Because when you are looking at haram, Almighty, they will be writing it against you. You continue having sin. They will be recording sin for you. Then by that, your iman will be coming down. Your iman will be decreasing. So also, whatever you listen to, when you are listening to music haram, there is nothing like Islamic music. Music is haram in Islam. Don't say because this one is reciting Quran in his music, and that is why I'm listening to him. It is rubbish. It is even worse than all those hip-hop. Because you are disrespecting Al-Quran, you are disrespecting the words of Almighty Allah by inserting ayah of Almighty Allah in your song. It is very bad. So those people, don't call them Islamic music, Islamic singers, Islamic musicians. There is nothing like that in Islam. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade it. Because Almighty Allah also in Surah Al-Rahman, Almighty Allah forbids it. So there is no evidence to back it up that music is halal. So when you are listening to music, your iman will be coming down. In fact, our scholars, the predecessors, they told us that music is the Quran of Shaitan. Shaitan also has his own Quran. He wants you to be listening to music so that you will be increasing in sin. As against reciting the Quran or listening to the Quran of Almighty Allah, through which you increase in iman. Almighty Allah told us in the Quran, وَلَا تَكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Almighty Allah said, do not follow that of which you have no knowledge. Surely the hearing, your head that you use to listen to music, the sight, your eyes that you use to look at the haram and the heart. All of these shall be questioned about. Almighty Allah will question you about them on the day of judgment. So finally, we want to talk about the things that will encourage us, that will assist us in increasing our faith. Ta'aleem al-shabab al-kitab wa sunnah. We should teach our youth. Teach them from the beginning al-kitab wa sunnah, the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By teaching them this from the cradle, then they will know what is good from what is bad. They will grow up on the perfect and authentic religion of Allah. So they will grow up, they will mature on Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By this, whatever they are doing, they will be doing it in accordance with Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it will be increasing their iman. So also, we need to be reminding our youth. We remind them of the use of those days, the contributions of the use of those days into Islam. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the youth, one of those youth is Zayd ibn Thabit. Zayd ibn Thabit and his youth who hate Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and call him that we know that you are a youth. You are a very intelligent youth and we do not suspect you of any evil. I want you to lead the delegation that we compile the Quran. Go and look around for the Quran from different kinds of materials in which the Quran was written then. Go and look for it and compile the Quran. Zayd ibn Thabit, he was a youth, he was under 40 then. Then Abu Bakr Siddiq assigned him to carry out this great assignment that is benefiting all of us today. So also, let's take example from Usama ibn Zayd. Usama ibn Zayd, he was made to lead the fight against the Rome. And he was a youth. He was very young then. And he was made to lead the Kibar al-Sahaba. The elderly ones amongst the Sahaba, they were behind him. Just because he was an upright youth. It was an upright youth. So also, let's tell them about those people, the Ashab al-Kahf, that the Almighty Allah told us about them in the Quran. In our Kitabun, Amanu bi Rabbihim wa Zinahumna. Almighty Allah told us that they are youth. Amanu bi Rabbihim, they believe in their Lord. They believe in Almighty Allah. And they leave their people who are worshipping any other thing other than Almighty Allah. They left them. And they went to defend themselves somewhere. Then Almighty Allah said, "Wasina, then we greet them in guidance. So these are some of the things that we assist you, that we assist all of us. I'm also part of you. We need to assist all of us to increase our iman. And those things that will cause decrease our iman, we should try as much as possible to do away from them. We seek guidance from Almighty Allah. We beg Almighty Allah to increase our faith and chase us away and chase all those things that will cause our iman to decrease away from us. إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم. وأنتم بجزاكم الله خيرا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.